At least I should have bothered him just once.
Humans form communities.
And from that diversity comes strength.
Now get the hell out of our galaxy!
The year is 2024.
The name of the podcast, Babylon 5.
For the first time.
Welcome to Babylon 5 for the first time, not a Star Trek podcast. My name is Jeff Aiken, and I am the one who was.
And I'm Brent Allen, and I am the one who will be.
And we're watching Babylon 5 for you, the one who is.
Jeff and I are two veteran Star Trek podcasters searching for the important messages that sometimes we call them the Star Trek-like messages. It's really just the important messages. The Babylon 5 is delivering in its own unique way.
And to be clear, we're looking for Babylon 5 messages, right? Not Star Trek messages. And since this is not a podcast about Star Trek, we play The Rule of Three, which is a game that limits us to a total of and no more than three references to Star Trek per episode.
That's it. Three.
One of those plays. No substitutions, exchanges, or refunds.
But if we do make one of those references, that's what you're going to hear.
Right. Because as we said, this is most definitely not a Star Trek podcast, but those references could slip in from time to time. Now, Jeff mentioned the game, The Rule of Three. There are lots of games we like to play here at Babylon 5 for the first time. One of those games comes up at the end of the show where we take a guess as to what next week's episode is going to be about based on title alone. Well, this is the spot where we play a brand new game called
Time to Pay the Piper.
Okay, it's not really a brand new game. We've been playing it literally the entire run of the show. We've just now come up with a title for it, five seasons in. This is the spot where it is time to revisit our predictions from last week to see if we got it right and pay the piper. So, Jeff, what did you think this episode, Strange Relations, was going to be about?
I said we were going to find out what Lockley knew about Sheridan and that it will have something to do with their past relationship. Then I said we're going to get into Lanier and what's going on with his ranger training.
Man, that would have been such a better episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, no points. I'm going to give you a tenth of a point, a point one of a point, because we found out what Lockley sort of knows about Sheridan. I mean, she knows him.
That was point one of the episode, so yeah. Might as well be point one of the score. What did you think it was going to be about?
Well, I said that this was going to follow right on the heels of last week, and it was going to be about all the relationships on Babylon 5 and all the trouble that being in those relationships are. Sheridan and Lynn getting beef, Sheridan and Lockley with their history, Garibaldi being married, whatever happened to his wife, Londo and Jakar being Londo and Jakar, and honestly probably being the most stable relationship on the whole dang station.
No points.
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, we missed this one.
Yeah.
So now if you're listening and you're like, what are they even talking about? They had no idea what the episode was except point one of it. And I don't even get what that's all about. Hey, Brent, can you walk us through what Strange Relations was all about?
Well, Jeff, that's the thing, because what was this episode about? I mean, like really, what was it about? Things are getting awkward on Babylon 5. Delenn catches up with Captain Lockley to let her know that she knows, you know, about the thing. And why Sheridan chose her for the job. Garibaldi, who happens to be listening right around the corner, suddenly gets very interested. But ultimately, he's let down, as they never really say what the thing is. But we know what it is, right? But this episode really isn't going to be about that. Meanwhile, elsewhere, a ship has arrived to take Londo back to Centauri Prime. You know, because he's supposed to be emperor and all sometime early in the next year, and early is starting to run out. Well, unfortunately, in a replay of a season one episode that actually did it better, the ship does what it's not supposed to do, and it starts banging around the inside of the docking bay, causing a big explosion. But don't worry, we're not going to have to follow up on this one much either, because this isn't really what the episode is about either. Down in Med Lab, Lita is caught red-handed, stealing medical supplies for the telepaths down below, because medicine on Babylon 5 ain't cheap, and they ain't got insurance. But this episode is not ultimately about this either. Belita gets those supplies down to the telepaths where Byron has really embraced his own messiah complex, complete with telling parables and all. When suddenly, there's a disturbance in the Force. They feel a presence they haven't felt since. Bester! Bester's back! Okay, the episode might be about this. hey, you know who has some unfinished business with Bester? Yeah, Garibaldi does. And he makes a big scene of it in Lockley's office until she, you know, throws him in the brig. Because, see, in order to not have something happen to you on Babylon 5, you actually have to punch and beat up the other person. But if you just stand menacing over them, that's what gets you thrown into the brig on Babylon 5. Well, Sheridan doesn't really like the fact that his buddy's been thrown into jail. So he and Lockley have it out. And, well, wouldn't you know it, Sheridan oversteps his boundaries of overriding Lockley yet again. This time, by not allowing Bester to take the telepaths off the station. And just as they settle that, the ambassadorial transport waiting to pick up Londo decides that it can't wait any longer for B5 to fix its docking bay, and so they're going to leave without him, which is a good thing, because just as the ship heads off for Centauri Prime, it gets blowed up, and it gets blowed up real good. Hey, you think the episode is going to be about this? Because we haven't revisited anything else yet. All right, well, after some quick and really incredibly poor investigative work, it is determined that the bomb must have been planted there and meant for somebody who was boarding the ship from Babylon 5, aka Londo. Okay, now we're starting to get somewhere. This is about to be a whodunit, right? Well, you'd be wrong, because turns out they never really follow up with us at all, and this isn't what the episode is about either. Well, Lockley and Garibaldi have it out this time. Not in the mess in front of everyone, but rather behind a closed door. Lockley admits that she was from the other side during the war, and also admits that she and Sheridan, hold on to your hats, she and Sheridan were married at one point. The scene ends with Garibaldi still locked up, so that hasn't changed, and Lockley is heading off to see Bester. Hey, remember he's in this episode? Bester's out there trying to round up the telepaths, even beating the crap out of Byron at one point, which might have been the best part of the whole episode, to be frank with you. Anyway, well, this recap, like the episode, is getting really long at this point and is just sort of meandering its way around a bunch of different plot points, never really sticking to any one of them. So let me just say that this whole thing ends with Lockley pulling a pretty nice Sinclair-esque move to get Bester to leave the telepaths on the station, citing some obscure medical regulation, which ends this plot line that just didn't go anywhere. Another ship has arrived to pick up Londo. This one leaves with him, but also with Jakar, whom, at the behest of First Lady Delenn, has agreed to become Londo's personal bodyguard. And Lita joins the telepaths down below, just as they're singing a good old hymn, or something or other, because Byron is their Jesus. Jeff, what did you make of this episode, Strange Relations?
So I'm watching this, right? And you can watch my reaction on our Patreon. You can see this in real time, where they're like, I was married. And I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm out. I'm done. Just, I get that in the second season, Kefir was rammed down JMS's throat. I get it. Is that the deal here? Because this betrays what I've come to know of Lockley. I don't know. And it's just dumb.
It betrays, and I think I briefly said this last week, it betrays every private interaction that we have seen between Sheridan and Lockley to this point, except for that one little hint that they dropped in last week's episode. But there has been zero indication that this has been the thing. And it just, yeah, they're just pulling this out of their asses, to be honest with you, at the end. Like, that's exactly what this feels like. If this was the planned relationship between Lockley and Sheridan, mission unsuccessful.
Yeah, failure of execution. Yes. Right there. Ugh. What else? So they try to blow up Londo's ship, and so then they pair him and Jakar up. Why? So Jakar will blow up with him next time? Like, Bester comes on board again, not doing anything legally wrong. Just showing up to find some unregulated escape telepaths, right? But Sheridan, again, still like, oh, no, we can't have Bester doing stuff. I get why Garibaldi did what he did. That actually was kind of cool. I liked that, what, Bester? Boom, I'm going. Let's do this. I was happy to see the dock workers are still getting their time and a half. You know, they're still being taken care of. Lita joined a cult. So that totally happened. With Byron being the guy, This is kind of my last thought on the whole thing, because I honestly don't have a lot of them. But with Byron being the guy for the telepaths, I get why there's going to be a war.
Yeah.
I'd go after this guy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
Jeff, this episode had a lot going on in it. There's a lot that happened in this episode. At the same time, nothing really happened in this episode except to just piss me off. Folks, brace yourselves out there. Remember that season 2 heel turn that I took? Well, I'm about to take it again. This episode sucked, Jeff. It sucked. This had a whole lot of talking. And aside from Jakar being installed as Londo's personal bodyguard, which still that whole thing fell way flat to me, everyone ends up in the same place at the end as they were at the beginning. Not even Bester could save this episode. Bester usually elevates an episode, especially in his last like couple of seasons. Whenever he's in an episode, he just ratchets the whole thing up. Didn't happen in this episode at all. They forgot he was there. It's like they just forgot he was on the station. Anything in this episode that seems even remotely interesting when they introduce the concept dies right there on the screen before the scene is even over, moving on to the next scene. Now, I got to be honest with you, Jeff. It's been a few days since I've watched this one, and I've been thinking about it, and I think I know what's wrong with season 5, and I think I know what's wrong with this episode.
Dying to know.
Byron.
Oh.
Byron has tanked this whole show. He is so dull. He is so boring. This guy makes a calculus final look exciting. There is nothing for me when I watch this guy. It's not that I don't like him. If I didn't like him, at least I would feel something about him. But this guy is about as bland as tepid water. And like tepid water, I just want to spit the whole thing out of my mouth. He is awful. He is bringing down the show. He is bringing down Babylon 5. And we know that something's about to come and explode with this dude. But it's awful. I don't know if this is casting. I don't know if this is writing. I don't know if this is concept. I can't put my finger on it. But Byron is killing me in this whole show. And the fact that they keep going back and focusing on this dude just pisses me off. And that's where I am in this episode.
I think the episode knows, not even the episode, I think Babylon 5 knows that he's a drain on everything. Because like that scene, just dive into Byron. I think that's a great thing. That scene where he's talking to Lita and she's like, dude, bro, take a nap, get some sleep. You got to take care of yourself. You know, good self-care message. And he's like, the last time I slept was 4-5 lifetimes ago. But, and then she just says, she's like, an idiot says what?
Yeah, right.
And then he's like, no, seriously, like, I'm totally Jesus, but apparently you're not cool enough to know I'm Jesus. So I'm just going to tell you that what I'm saying is a parable because like, hi, here's the sign. I'm telepath Jesus. But the only people who want to follow me are people that also use herbal essences in their hair care regimen. Because every dude in that telepath thing has just got the most, they have beautiful hair. That's the one thing I'll say about those telepaths. But I feel like the show is self-aware that it's like, dude, even the stuff he says is just Marcus, right? So Marcus comes in and he quotes Shakespeare. He quotes, Dickens, and he's a very well-read person. And I would say
he's soft-spoken.
But yeah, right.
Marcus was a very soft-spoken kind of guy.
Just cool. And at no point was it obnoxious with him. It was cool. He played it off well. Byron comes out. Oh, I'm going to speak in verse and parable. I'm going to quote books, and I'm also going to come off like some off-brand Eggo microwavable pancake. Like that's the best way I can describe him. I'm with you. I wouldn't say that we've been Lita fans through this show, but I mean, she's had cool moments and stuff. I don't care about her anymore. I'm just like, oh God.
You know, the last time I cared about Lita, and I want to know what happened to this, when her and Zach were kind of becoming a thing.
Agreed.
She clearly, this is her and Byron, and it's turning into the Lita Byron show. Where the hell is Zach in all of this? Like, dude, like, I don't know what happened to you and this girl, but something, because she'd be much better off with you than with this guy. I mean, full on, Jeff. Byron's going to have these folks drinking Kool-Aid here in the next couple episodes, right?
100%. I mean, the whole cult leader giveaway was where he's like, hey, good job, Lita, on bringing us this stuff. Excuse me while I just kiss you.
Right.
What? What? Like, we have a term for that. And assault is the second word of that term. Like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed, though. So you had mentioned, like, the whole her stealing medicine from MedLab and there being, you know, like that whole thing. I actually really liked that and wanted them to go further. During the COVID days, the response to COVID, we really saw that communities of color and underrepresented people had a baked in distrust of anything the doctor said, or if they were like, hey, come in and say this, because poor, you know, here's me, white dude on my pedestal of privilege. I learned in that time that a lot of people of color and communities of color were subjected to just horrible medical treatment for generations. Right. And so I can sit here on my high horse and be like, well, just listen to what the doctors say. Just do, they're doctors. Why? Yeah. Let me tell you what doctors have done. Babylon 5, do that. Do that story with the telepaths. You got the Underground Railroad. You got everything laid out for this cool story.
Do you remember when Franklin got caught having a free clinic down below?
Yeah, Quality of Mercy.
Like, dude, I mean, Franklin's all about this kind of stuff. Set it up. Go there with it.
But we get none of that. Nothing.
No.
It's all just to set up.
Because it's not what the episode's about.
No, it's not.
Now, here's the thing, Jeff. I can hear the keyboards clacking right now. People that know what's happening, people are like, you just don't understand foreshadowing. This is world building. This is setting stuff up. You remember those middle episodes of season 4? Like, once we got past the Vorlon shadow thing, before the Earth Civil War really got started, there was that run of like 7-8 episodes, maybe 9 episodes right in the middle that were like, what the hell is going on here?
Right. Just kind of meh.
But once we got to that Earth Civil War, we're like, listen, this would not have hit if we didn't have that time of meandering. I hope, Jeff, we're coming up on something here real soon that this is going to be that sort of a thing. I don't think that's what's going to happen, though.
I'm trying to hold on to hope. I'm trying. So I think my question for you on the Byron thing was episode's over, right? So Lockley's played her card. Yep. I love how you described it. That was a very Sinclair maneuver, right? Oh, got to keep him for 60 days. My little question for myself was, haven't they been there for like a month? Like, shouldn't they say, oh, that's why? Whatever.
Yeah.
But Bester kind of had it in for Byron there at the end. Do you think they have a relationship or something from back in the day?
No. I think Bester is, I put it this way. I would be highly disappointed if they went that route. Because it would be very unearned and it would be so cliche.
Yeah.
I think the best thing that this could be, and it's what I really hope it is, and it's what I expect it to be. Like, it's what I truly think it is Byron is leading a group of rogue telepaths that Bester thinks are his property. Bester thinks it like, this guy's my enemy. This guy's doing the thing that I'm not supposed to be allowing to have happen.
I like that. It's almost a personal affront to him that he's leading these people.
Lockley being married to Sheridan, I think, is a betrayal of what we have seen so far. If it turns out that Bester and Byron have had a relationship, and just to be clear, a romantic relationship in the past, and this is some spurned love thing, I don't know that that would be a betrayal of what we have seen so far as much as over cliche of storytelling, because this is not an episode. This is not a storyline that needs that to be the motivating factor. When we have already established Bester's motivating factor is control. It's control over all the telepaths. So that's what it should be. And yeah.
Do you think maybe they grew up in the core together or anything?
I don't think Byron's been in the core.
Oh, really?
I don't think he ever went to the core. Mm-mm. I don't think like he was in the core and then he got out or anything like that. I don't think that's it at all.
Maybe like his parents kind of kept him on the run, sort of a thing.
Yeah. I think this dude's been out and free. Maybe he escaped as a youth or something like that, but he never graduated and joined the Corps or whatever. Like, this guy would have been, this guy has been doing this Jesus thing for a long time.
Jesus in training. He's a jit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how long does it take to grow out that beautiful long hair?
Seriously.
I mean, it's been at least that long for him.
Yeah. There's a lot of hot oil treatments going into that.
Yes. But hey, listen, at least we know they don't got split ends in the future.
Exactly. They're well cared for.
Yes. Yes. For people who have no money and
don't believe in technology, have lived on the run for, I mean, so much they're malnourished, dehydrated, but
man, he's clean shaven.
Yeah. Perfectly.
Clean shaven. Yeah. And he's perfectly clean. Notice the other ones look a little dirty, a little scrungy. He's glowing.
You ever wonder what it smells like down there? Like in that little, like when Bester's down there and he's harassing Lita because he's like, yeah, you took out two of my guys. What if I come down with a dozen? Let's see what you got. Just totally unfazed by her. She's starting to sweat. You ever think about, like, what did it smell like down there? Stand by. We'll be right back. Are you ready to take your Babylon 5 for the first time experience to the next level? With our exclusive Patreon, you'll get access to all kinds of cool stuff that you can only find there. Our recording notes, unedited reaction videos, an exclusive Discord community, and you can even be listed as a producer of the show. Plus, we even offer exclusive meet and greets and hangouts. You won't find this kind of experience anywhere else. Get all these amazing benefits, plus the opportunity to interact with other fans from around the world. It's being part of a huge community where everyone shares the same appreciation for Babylon 5. Subscribe at patreon.com/Babylon5first. That's the number 5 and the word first to get access to these incredible benefits. That's patreon.com/Babylon5first. We can't wait to see you there.
I feel like I know what it smells like down there, and it's not good.
Yeah, not unpleasant. Is the
yes. I will describe it. I don't know if anybody can picture this. Have you heard at Walt Disney World about the tunnels that exist under Walt Disney World?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. They truly only exist under Magic Kingdom. Hollywood Studios has a little tunnel kind of towards the back of it, barely qualifies. Magic Kingdom has the tunnels. They're not impressive. Just they are utilidor access ways. There are a few places where there are big, huge trash cans down there, like dumpsters kind of.
Okay.
You know what it smells like when you're in an enclosed area and dumpster? That's what the whole thing I think smells like. Just nasty dirt, enclosed,
wet garbage, stale soda, kind of
air is not moving very well through there. It's all recirculated. It's just everything has sort of a musty feel to it.
Yeah.
That's what it's like.
So on Londo and Jakar, I got one question. Who's trying to kill Londo?
Well, I would have loved for them to have explored that question, Jeff. Could have been a great episode. How did you come up with the conclusion, really, that it had to be somebody on this station? Amy, I mean, it's a great leap in logic. It's not proof. It's not supported by documented evidence. Like, you logic that out to give you an excuse to do this thing with Londo and Jakar. Like not JMS's best writing here. I love the man. I love what he has done with Babylon 5. That particular bit of writing, sometimes you just got to push it forward. No.
Yeah, the whole thing just seemed so strung together. And then when Delenn comes in and is trying to convince Jakar to become the bodyguard, I'm just like, this doesn't make sense. There's no good reason for Jakar to become his... Give him a ranger.
Yeah.
Give him a trio of rangers, right? Like, this doesn't make... This is literally just, hey, way back in the first episode, we said that they were going to die strangling each other. And,
then in War Without End...
They showed it.
Car kind of come out. Well, we saw him kind of come out behind him, looking like he was Londo's bodyguard,
mm-hmm.
like secret bodyguard, you know, his little minion or whatever. But they were friends at that point. They were more equals. We saw that. And this was, here's how he got there.
Literally, JMS is writing. He says, oh, my gosh, it's
time to pay the piper.
Let me write this in.
You know what? that episode, how Jakar became Londo's personal bodyguard could have been an episode all unto itself. And I got to tell you, I was so put off by what they actually did here, because in my head, the way Jakar became the Emperor's bodyguard was so much cooler. And I don't even know how he would have done it, but it was cool in my head. Like, you know, it was, I don't know. I feel like I could have come up with 30 different ways that Londo could have done this, be cooler than an F plot in a show that didn't really do much at all, to basically just have Delenn convince him to go do it. And he goes off skipping with joy at the idea.
Yeah, it was disappointing.
Because here's the other thing too. Think about where Jakar is. Think about who Jakar is. Jakar is effectively the Secretary of State of the Alliance.
Right.
Jakar, Citizen Jakar, the last surviving member of the Kari in a Narn that is rebuilding itself. First of all, Jakar should be on Narn, or the Narn homeworld, whatever the name of it is. Somebody pointed out we don't actually know what the name of the Narn homeworld is.
I think it's Narn. It's just Narn.
I don't think it is. I think it's supposed to be something else altogether. The people are the Narn.
We can't pronounce it with our feeble human tongues.
Like, Jakar is out of place anyway. And didn't they say like one line where Jakar's like, yeah, but I'm not going to be your Jesus or something like that? Oh, no, they actually had a whole scene for it, right? Mm-hmm. Where he's like, nope, you're not going to put me up on that pedestal. I'm going to go back over here. Whatever. Jakar is not going to go be somebody's personal bodyguard. And also, have you seen the way that the Narn fight?
Yeah, I don't want a Narn.
I don't want a Narn being my bodyguard. I don't know. Way.
Give me that Tenir guy, you know, who knows how to use the Dembok.
Give me a Ranger. Give me a Minbari. Hell, give me a Centauri. Centauri can kick butt, man.
Right.
Give me somebody out of the Mudado.
Yeah. This is where Walker Smith comes back. This is time.
Right. Jakar, not so much.
Jakar's a speechwriter, right? He's
a poet.
He's a poet. He is writing the book of Jakar.
He's his own messianic figure.
He's building the mythos of the Interstellar Alliance. Mm-hmm. And now he's going to go play bodyguard. And one, to your point, we never got any closure on how Narn is being rebuilt, governed, or anything. Not even a mention. Nothing.
Nope.
Then, on top of that, is Jakar also the Narn ambassador? Are the Narn going to be unrepresented now? Or do we get Talon? Maybe this is Talon comes back. He wears his sword and he comes back. That'd be cool. I'd be all right with Talon being around. But it's just, I mean, to me, it just feels like, hey, we are built. How many episodes this season have I brought up, like, how did this happen with the Alliance? Why are they doing this? They don't have this infrastructure. Yeah. Literally the guy building that, they're sending away. Hey, Alexander Hamilton, thanks for all your work. Get on the boat. See you later.
It just doesn't. I mean, I get it. We got to go there somehow. It just didn't set well with me. You know, didn't sit well. Jeff, that's all I got on this episode, man.
I have a couple little things.
Okay.
I have some confusion around the power structure on the station, Earth Force,
yeah,
security, all this kind of stuff.
Everyone,
right?
Everyone has questions about that. We don't know. Go ahead. What you got?
So Zach calls up to, I think it was to Lockley, and says, hey, I've got these orders. We got to give the telepaths up. And I'm like, well, where are the orders from? They're direct from Earth Dome. Well, then we have no choice. We have to follow them. But Zach's wearing his Alliance uniform.
Yep.
So, Do you work for Franklin? They have the cool, I like this idea they had for Franklin. Hey, go study interspecies virology and medical stuff. I like that. That's a good fit for him. But there's the, hey, I'm going to swing by and tell Lockley because med lab is her thing and she's got to staff it. But I felt like he was kind of asking permission, and he's doing that wearing his Interstellar Alliance uniform again. So I'm just not sure like what's happening there.
I could see EarthGov trying to issue an order. Well, okay, so let's back up. Here's what we know. Technically, Earth still owns Babylon 5, mm-hmm, because they're working out a deal for the Alliance to purchase the station from Earth. So if Earth still owns, then they maybe could still issue these orders. Zach, working as the Alliance chief of security here, still has to follow those orders, especially given that Lockley has to follow those orders.
Yeah, maybe.
Unless Sheridan comes in and overrules them, because that's just what he can do because he's physically there.
Yeah, because I had the whole thought, like, why doesn't Sheridan just grant him sanctuary? Why doesn't he do that? But that's that point. Grant him sanctuary. That would be like the, well, I guess it almost would work. I'm the, I don't know, Nigerian embassy in the United States. Mm-hmm. And someone goes to my embassy there and says, I want asylum. Could you give asylum in the embassy on U.S. soil? I don't know. I don't know those laws, but I feel like Sheridan could have said that. Hey, I'm going to grant him sanctuary here in the Interstellar Alliance. I don't know. Again, it's just stuff that it's not lining up. And the only thing that doesn't line up is Lockley saw that Garibaldi accessed her file.
Yep.
And he stayed in the brig like an extra 20 minutes for that.
Yep.
I want to go do bad things around on Lockley's watch. I feel like he'd get off pretty darn easy.
Like, I mean, seriously, if Garibaldi would have just landed a few punches, he wouldn't have had any brig time, though.
Well, and it's a fine line. There's the menacing over them you get in trouble for. Mm. You come at him with a wrench, you're going to get in trouble. Now, Toth figured that out with Deathwalker, but it's that middle thing. It's all about the fist.
You come at him with a PPG, you're also not getting in trouble.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That'll be fine.
If people only knew. Two final thoughts. One, to close off on the Lockley stuff. I guess two there. One, Delenn was sure cool with the whole, like, oh, you're married? Cool. All right. Seems like you're a good choice. Thanks for telling me.
So here's my thing, because I thought my first response to that was, man, she sure has gotten over her pissiness about this whole thing, like, real fast. On the other hand, we're not seeing her in her quarters with Sheridan right now. Like, Sheridan could still be in the doghouse, and she's just putting on the brave face out there in the world. I don't think that's the case, but, you know, she sure got over this one real fast.
She's out there being the ambassador. It's okay. It's okay. I understand. A lot of Lockley's lines, I felt like they tried to infuse a little more personality and character into her in this one.
Yeah.
But those sounded like lines that were written for Ivanova.
Mm.
Now you finally convinced me. I just decided if you can't join them, beat them. And I think Ivanova would have said that a lot better.
Yeah.
It's the other one I had. It's not that I don't trust you, but I don't trust you. Classic Ivanova, right? Like, just sprinkle a little more in.
Hey, by the way, I've been saying that line since I was 12. It's not that I don't trust you. It's just, I don't trust you.
It's a good line.
It's a great line.
Last note on the whole thing. Apparently there was a prior Emperor Malari, and things didn't end well for him. And Londo's sure things aren't going to end well for him either.
As soon as he becomes emperor, things are going to go bad. Hey, let's do this. We've got a few minutes here, Jeff. I'm trying to pad this time to hit the over.
I know.
Way back in season 3, the one where Major Barrett came on the show.
Point of no return.
She left 3 things that Londo needed to do to redeem himself. Those things right now, I remember these. Don't kill the eye that doesn't see, or something like that.
Yep.
Don't kill the person who's already dead. And shoot, what was the last one? You probably remember really well.
It's the face the thing you fear the most.
And knowing that it's going to destroy you.
Yeah.
Where are we on those 3 prophecies with Londo?
I still don't think we're clear on things, right? The eye that does not see, that could be so many different things.
I still say it's the eye from season 1, the eye of the Emperor. I still think it's that. It could also be a reference to Jakar. And it occurs to me all 3 of these things could be references to Jakar. Like, there's Jakar with the eye thing. There's don't kill the one who's already dead. Jakar died that episode with Dust to Dust when he went on that high.
Yep.
And he turned into somebody new. Now, you talk about a messiah having a situation like that's been a well done storyline. Byron? No,
not so much.
You really could have that with Jakar. Don't kill the one who's already dead. Also, by the way, that could be Sheridan.
Yeah, I think that one is the most clear of them because, I mean, he died. And then so I think if I walk through it, don't kill the eye that does not see. There's a difference in Jakar now and Jakar that we saw in War Without End. And that difference is the thing, you know, the eye patch over his eye. Yeah. Something's going to happen with his prosthetic eye. That's going to be a thing. Maybe, I don't know. But I do think that the eye that does not see is a Jakar thing. Don't kill the one who's already dead. That we saw in War Without End when Londo ordered Sheridan to go and get killed with Delenn, you know, go question them and then kill them. And then he was able to kind of put together the plan to get him out of there. He was already dead. Don't kill him. But though, and then facing his greatest fear and knowing it will destroy him, I think is when he will ask Jakar to kill him.
That's what I was thinking was the surrender yourself to something that you know is going to be your end. If Londo is going to surrender himself to becoming emperor, knowing that that will be the thing that ends him, Londo for a long time has not been comfortable with the idea of becoming emperor.
Yeah, ever since, I mean, really, that became crystal clear in Point of No Return.
Yeah.
He's like, why are you having Lady Morella come out? Because I want a reading. There's all these things. And you want to see if it's true? No, I hope that it's not going to be true.
I want out, is basically what he's saying. Yeah, yeah. And he's like, I don't want power. That's not what I want. I want to be the guy who's pulling strings or whatever. Save the eye that doesn't see. That's what it is. Save the eye that doesn't see. So, I mean, it really could be Jakar, like Jakar's eye. I still think it's got to be the emperor thing, though. That's just... I'm stuck on that one, Jeff. I can't get over that one.
It was that artifact was the pole in the tent for the first big episode of Babylon 5.
And if we never come back to it, then what the hell was that whole piece about?
I mean, if anything, it was just Morden showing his hey, here's this whole little thing for Morden to come back and be like, here it is. Look at this magical thing I did. Yeah. Well, Brent, with that, I think we've reached the point of this episode where we boil this thing all down and see if it has any deep morals or messages to it. Maybe it's holding a mirror up to society, giving us hope we can be better in the future. And at the same time, we also look at how much it delivers that message, if one exists, in its own unique Babylon 5 way. You get to do that by rating this episode on a scale of 0 to 5 white stars on how strong the message is and just how Babylon 5 was delivered. So how do you rate Strange Relations?
Well, you asked me, what messages does this episode have? How does this episode hold up a mirror to society and give us hope for a future? The short answer is, it doesn't. This episode has a dozen little plot pieces that they're trying to drive forward. Presumably, this is to get to the telepath war, which we think is what's coming. You and I have both said that. That's going to be a big part of here of season 5. This one felt like plot setup. This felt like moving pieces around. Jeff, you and I understand, like we get what's happening in the real world. They were wrapping up the entire series at the end of season 4, and the 11th hour, they came back and was like, nope, here it is. And here JMS has to turn on and try to reboot just for a season, just for a season. I don't know if he thought that there'd be a season 6 at this point or not. His story was supposed to be done with 5, and he's trying to reboot the whole thing. And you kind of got to shove a bunch of stuff happening in all at the same time in order to get to where you need to go. And this ultimately, I think, feels like that kind of an episode. This feels like an episode that is moving pieces into place, is setting up a whole lot of stuff, but in a 42 minute episode of TV contained to itself, it just didn't do much. It didn't do anything really. It just was there. So anyway, there's no real message here, Jeff. There's just not, whether it's intentional or otherwise. Sometimes there's an unintentional message that comes out. I looked at Delenn's talk with Londo and Jakar trying to pull something out of there, and it really wasn't about a message or Delenn saying something really cool. It was about furthering the plot and getting Londo and Jakar together. Like that, what needed to happen at the end was Jakar needed to be Londo's bodyguard so we can move forward with whatever we got coming up next. Jeff, you know how we used to say that there were Star Trek episodes that would get 0 deltas? Well, this is an episode that gets 0 white stars.
There, like you said, so many almost messages in this one. Take one more step, 2 more steps. Great message. Great theme in this whole thing. I mean, going back to that medicine thing and the relationship of underrepresented people and communities. But nope. Not at all. Nothing at all. If I were to argue for any more white stars, I would be a filthy, dirty liar. And in this case, right here today, now, I'm not that. Maybe later, but not now.
Well, Jeff, with that, we are creating, and white stars really are about the messages and how it's doing it. It's in an own unique Babylon 5 way. However, there is a spot where we talk about kind of how much we like the episode. Where does it fit And to do that, we are creating our absolute 100% completely accurate definitive ranking of the fifth season of Babylon 5. So far, that ranking is number one, The Very Long Night of Londo Mollari. Number two, No Compromises. Number three, Learning Curve. Four, A View from the Gallery. Number five, A Paragon of Animals. Jeff, this is an episode that could potentially upset the top five. And for the first time, knock someone out of the top five. The question is, Jeff, does Strange Relations knock anything out of the top five as the sixth episode of the season?
This episode had such an impact on me. I might have cost ourselves monetization by having an unedited swear word in here earlier. And I'm not going to do anything about that swear word. And if you're offended by it, I'm really sorry, but that's how I feel. Back in season two, we took an episode. We ranked it at number 22 at the beginning, and we kind of kept it there. In season three, we took an episode and we only ranked 22 of or 21 of 22 episodes. In that season, it was still ranked number 22. And Brent, I am so tempted to do the same thing with this episode.
I think this episode's just going to fall. Like you could go ahead and throw it all the way down at the bottom. You could leave it at six and just let everything else come in above it and see. Because heaven, please, Jeff, for the love of all that's good and holy, tell me this is as bad as it gets. Like everything else from here is uphill. Please.
That's the hope that I'm clinging to, that this is our low point. And that this is actually, like you said, this is propping up a few really key plot points that'll pay off. And we'll look back on it and be like, oh my gosh, I'm really glad we suffered through that. And to be honest, so much of my reaction, visceral reaction to this episode, was just the cheap, easy, cliche, stupid move to have them have been married before. All of that said, I'm going to cling to hope. This is number six. If it's horrible, it'll get pushed down. If it's better, it'll land where it's supposed to land.
Yeah, Jeff, I think that's a good idea. I've said, and I know you don't agree with me, and that's okay. Everybody's got their own personal opinion. The season opener of this season for me was my favorite season opener that we've had of the five seasons. You and I both very much agree. The Very Long Night of Londo Mollari has been the best episode of season four that actually rolled over to season five.
Yeah.
Episode three, that was Paragon of Animals. And I remember saying with that episode moved real slow, but it was a fine episode. Like I didn't not like it. I didn't love it, but I didn't not like it. The next episode was A View from the Gallery. That's when we had the two guys. Again, it was a fine episode. It's not that I didn't like it. It was fine.
It was fun, actually. It was an enjoyable episode.
It was fine. You and I were in different places on last week's episode. I really, really liked last week's episode, and I still only placed it at number three. This is the first episode that I truly say I do not like. I did not like this episode. So, yes, number six. And I agree with you, Jeff, not that it makes a difference at this point, but I agree with you that you're not just dropping it all the way down to 22. Like, I kind of just want to let it fall. You know, just let it go. And you're right, if it's not number 22 in the ranking by the time we're done, then it'll stop falling where it's supposed to stop falling.
And there'll be something worse than this. But Brent, it feels good to say this. That's it for Strange Relations. Next week, we're watching Secrets of the Soul for the first time. You talked about it back near the beginning of the episode, but we play a game every week where we look at the title of the episode. We don't look at thumbnails, we don't look at descriptions or anything else, and we guess what that episode's going to be about. We predict what the episode will be about based on the title alone. Brent, what do you think Secrets of the Soul is going to be about?
Jeff, please, 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 please let me be right about this one. This is a Lanier episode. We're finally going to get back to Ranger Lanier and Los Chautauk, whatever they call themselves. Lanier, we're going to see what's going on with him over in Ranger School. I think we should have seen him a few episodes back when the guys came to the station. But this, to me, this is time to catch up with Lanier. That's what I got. What do you got?
We're going to have Londo, and we're getting the buddy cop episode that you've been crying for almost a season. Londo and Jakar sharing secrets, sharing stories. It's Racing Mars with Londo and Jakar instead of Marcus and Franklin.
Oh, that was a fun episode.
Rip to Marcus. I think the episode will end with them arriving on Centauri Prime and being told that in the next episode, they're going to have the big coronation and ceremony for him.
They'll arrive on Centauri Prime and the regent will have died.
Yep. Oh, Londo, you just missed it. He died. Get ready. Tomorrow morning, we have a feast and you will be named emperor. Bum, bum, bum. We'll find out right here next week. Thank you all so much for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening or watching. Leave us a rating and a review, and please share this podcast with someone that's either already in love with Babylon 5 or about to fall in love with this incredible series. So, Brent, until next time. Actually, Brent, I have a question for you.
Do you? Okay, shoot.
Do you want to stick around and watch the next episode together, like right now?
Yes. Let's get the hell out of here.
Initiating getting the hell out of here maneuver.
We're not some deep space franchise. The station is about something.
Excuse me while I crack this bad boy open. I'm looking forward to this one.
You know, Jeff, they make mute buttons.
I thought I hit it.
You're like that guy that snuck a Coke into a movie theater and you're just trying to you're trying to open it without like...
And as I'm being slow about it, my cell phone starts ringing. Oh my God, I'm so sorry.